Hi, it's Dave. Several months ago, I did a video called How to Read Super Fast, and I shared my story of how reading super fast has helped me to compound my learning over the years. Since that video, I've received dozens of requests to do a follow-up video and share some more practical tips and techniques on reading super fast. I've been meaning to do another video, and that's when Chris Kim reached out to me on Twitter, telling me that my video had profoundly impacted his life. Here's his tweet. @HeyDave7, I watched your video on speed reading, and I think this is probably the most important topic for me as I love the pursuit of self-improvement. I timed myself and I can only read 36 pages per hour. I'm in my mid-30s, but I still want to pursue this. How do I learn more? Also, thank you for that video. It is an inspiration. I never knew this was even achievable. I made it my life goal to achieve at least half your reading speed before I die. So I replied back and asked Chris if he wanted to jump on a Zoom call where I could try to help him to read faster. So here's a recording of the call, and I hope that it can help you and anyone else who is trying to learn faster and to learn more effectively. All right, Chris, I was impressed by, you know, your Twitter kind of comment reaching out. And, you know, saying that you're wanting to learn how to read fast. Can you explain kind of what your motivation is and kind of, you know, why you have that desire?
Reading is really important. It's one of the most important skills that I've come to realize throughout my unfortunate years of, you know, working and studying and stuff like that, right? You know, I decided to challenge just to see, okay, where am I? So I dedicated a whole hour and I got through 36 pages. It's just want to see like what I can improve. Like,
Chris, here's what I'm gonna do. This is going to be an approach that is atypical. It's out of the box. You're not gonna see this type of approach, I don't think, anywhere, or at least I haven't seen anything like this. So I'm not gonna be teaching per se like typical speed reading courses. It's very technical focused, and I kind of have mixed feelings. I'm not a big believer in a lot of the speed reading kind of courses or techniques. I've kind of developed my own way that I feel kind of matches kind of my style, and it might not match your style, but it's worth at least, you know, learning about, I think, if you're really wanting to learn to read fast. A lot of stuff I learned, I just picked up kind of because I was forced to read fast. If you're forced to read fast, sometimes you pick up things automatically.
Right.
So what I'll do is like, I've got these different levels to go through. So the first level is kind of like a high level kind of principles. And it might not seem that practical, but they tend to be the most important. And sometimes if you just have the principles, you can figure out the techniques. Okay, so the first level is high level principles. The second level is kind of like general techniques.
Yeah.
Kind of general methods to go through. And I kind of want to share that, and I want to get your feedback. So if you have any, you know, questions or confusion about anything, feel free to interrupt and just, you know, we'll have a discussion. And the third level is more like, how do you practice these things in like your daily life to get faster? Right? So that's the third level. And then the fourth thing is kind of a separate thing is saying kind of like, okay, kind of like some warnings or some type of how to use these skills, like kind of like things that I've learned looking back after learning these skills. So we'll go through the first high level and we'll see how far we can go down to the techniques, you know, and hopefully, you know, some of the information, hopefully it can strike a nerve and you can say, hey, you know, I actually, you know, want to try it out, or, you know, it can hopefully open your eyes a little bit. So on the high level, I think the number one key principle to understand, there's actually a couple, but one of the key principles to understand is that there's a lot of fluff in books. Like, a tremendous amount of fluff, like ridiculous amount of fluff in books. And a lot of times people put a lot of pressure on themselves because they look at a book and they go, oh my gosh, it's a published book, it's an author. It must be good. It must be filled with information that's super valuable. Thus, I must take every page super seriously, right? If you get stuck in that mentality, it's game over. You've lost. You cannot read fast because the book is dictating now your agenda, and you you've bought into the surface level analysis where because the book has a shiny cover and an author that's published, it's important. That's going to kill you in reading fast. So if you look at kind of the essence of books and what a book is, right? Can a person really fill 200 to 300 pages of a book with really, really substantial information and substantial like truth, you know, substantial like arguments? Like, no, that's not possible in my opinion. You know, like even like, you know, I can share like a thoughtful argument. I can pull it down just into like a few sentences, right? And if I want to make a book out of it, to make 200 or 300 pages, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna add a lot of stories, a lot of anecdotes, a lot of extra stuff to fluff it out to make it seem like it's more convincing, right? To try to build up a story. But the essence of my book, it really comes down to a few sentences. So when you look at a book, like hold up that marketing book you have there. Okay, the ultimate marketing plan, okay? So, successful strategies for today's marketplace, right? So you can put it back down. So that book, there's two ways to look at it. One way to look at it is like, oh my gosh, it's a textbook of marketing, like, you know, guru advice, and I need to go through every little thing and really try to understand it, right? It's going to be a failure, in my opinion, because you're going to read slow, you're not going to intake that much, etc. If you look at that book and said, okay, this person, let's say, is really interested in marketing, they might have like a really good solid point, and they might have a good solid like sub points, and it could probably be summarized in a couple pages, right? The rest of the book is just extra anecdotes, details, stories, trying to clarify, right, their main arguments. Okay, so this is kind of one of the first principles to grasp when you're looking at a book, when you think we're thinking at a book. Really, it could be, you know, pulled down into just a couple pages. The rest of it is all just clarification details.
That makes a lot of sense. So I have a question then. So when I was going through the first two page or the two chapters here, I only got through two chapters.
Got it.
There is the first two chapters was like, I want to say like 90% of it was fluff, right? As I was reading it, and I was humming myself, but as I was reading it, I think I was doing too much at once. But so when I was reading it, I had to try like understand the point he's trying to make, because like the point, he didn't come to these points like directly, right? He used
Sure.
anecdotes to really explain his point. So for example, like the one of the headings here was how a terrific USP, which is short for what was that? Unique selling point, right? How a USP built a terrific or built an entrepreneur empire, right? But then I think he could have really summarized it in like a sentence or two, but he has like pages of anecdotes. And so for me, now I actually have to pay attention to those anecdotes to really extract the sentence that he sort of hidden in there.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the key. The key is because the anecdotes, the stories, the details, the clarifications are all fluff in a sense. I'm not saying they're not important or they're not a part of the picture, right? Because I actually, when I say I read a book, I actually go through the details and anecdotes. I don't completely skip over everything, actually, right? Just because I think they're fluff. I think a lot of times it plays a piece. There's a reason why someone is explaining a story that they're explaining, right? To make their point, right? Sometimes if I ignore it, you know, it's like, hey, I'm ignoring their how they're making their argument, right? Okay, so this is like, okay, so here's a second kind of interesting concept is you need to decide your pace versus letting the author decide your pace of reading. And what I mean by that is by the author reading, writing a book, they're deciding what you read when you read it, like what sentence you're going to read next, how fast you read, meaning like how many pages, how many lines, or how many sentences, everything. They're dictating the pace. Now, if you want to let the author dictate your pace, then you're not going to read very many books because it's to the interest of the author to dictate a slow pace, you know, and to just like consume your time. That's not to your best interest. See, you need to have a pace that's to your best interest. Is it really your best interest to spend 20 hours on that book? Or is it your best interest to spend 20 or 30 minutes on that book, and in that 10 hours, you read 20 other marketing books, right? And you get like, you probably will get, I mean, this sounds kind of crazy, but even if I read a book like that in 20 minutes, I would get probably 90% of what I would get if I read it in 2 or 3 hours or 5 or 10 hours. I still get the vast majority of the value. I just get 20 extra books of value, right?
Right.
And
And
then
it's
when you,
told that.
exactly, when you compound that over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, it's like it's a world of difference, right? So, yeah, you need to like be careful of falling into the trap of following the author's pace. Yeah, you don't want to ever do that. Yeah, you want to look at it as it's a construct set up by the author, all of these pages and sentences, and you can decide your own pace. You can decide what you want to get out of it and how fast you want to get out of it. Okay, so that's another concept. All right, a third concept is, which is probably the most important concept here, is a book is simply, and usually like it's different with fiction. Fiction now is like you could, it's stories and you know, et cetera. But usually with nonfiction books, it's usually a book is an argument. And usually a book is an argument in a sense. It's a point of view on a certain subject, but not just a point of view. They're trying to make it a cohesive kind of argument that's kind of different than other points of view. So they're trying to back up, right, their point of view and what they're arguing. So it's like a thesis in a way. And with this argument, they're making also sub-arguments to back up that argument. So let's say you have a main argument. So the book, so I brought a book here. It's called Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. And yeah, it's a, you know, it's a pretty sizable book. Now with this book, like as any book out there, he's going to have one main thesis, one main argument. Under that argument, he's going to make a bunch of sub-arguments to support that main argument. Okay? So you when I look at a book, the construct of a book, I compare it to a tree. Okay? A tree has one trunk. Okay, that's the main argument, like a book, okay? And then a tree has a bunch of branches, like main branches, right? And then they have tiny branches and leaves. So same almost exact thing with a book. A book has one trunk, okay? And that's the main argument, the thesis of the book. Then the book has these branches, which are sub-arguments. Right, sub main arguments, and then on the branches you have the details, you have the anecdotes, you have the stories, you have the clarifications, all this stuff. Those are the leaves and the tiny branches. This is every book, every pretty much nonfiction book, right, you read. So when you read a book, when you pick up a book, pick up that marketing book again. Okay, all right, that's a tree. It's a tree, right? Like, don't get confused. Don't think that that's some type of like, you know, oh, credentialed, awesome author published and all this like textbook of I need to go through hundreds of hours. Forget all that stuff, right? That's just, you know, it's confusion. When you look at the book, it's a tree, right? It's a tree with one trunk with big branches and leaves. And that's how you're going to read the book. And then you're going to read the book on your pace, not on the author's pace. And the goal of your reading is going to be, and it's simple, it's going to be find that trunk as soon as possible, right? That's your main thing. Once you find the trunk, what's the next thing? Find all of the main branches as soon as possible. The other leaves and the tiny branches, that's going to help you to understand how the author makes their main argument and sub-arguments. How they construct their argument, kind of like how the tree looks like, but you don't want to get bogged down in the details, in the leaves. It'll confuse you, actually. A lot of times people get bogged down in the leaves. They don't even see the trunk. They read the whole book. They take like 20 hours. They read all these stories of 1945. This happened, 1982. This, blah, blah, all this stuff. This company did this. And they don't see the trunk. What was the book about? And all they don't know exactly. It's this confusion. When I read a book, I pick it up, I go straight to the trunk, and that's what I'm focused on as fast as I can. I go straight to the branches, main arguments, and I get exposed to all of the leaves and the small branches, but that's only because I want to understand how they're arguing, right? The main thing. Does that make any sense to you?
That makes actually perfect sense.
Okay. Is that any different than how you're viewing a book currently?
Yes. Right now, I read. I'm reading this book, like I read a fiction book,
Got it.
right? Where every line has a detail that I can use to enjoy the book, right? So therefore, every line has its own value and its own it's important and stuff like that. So I feel like because I've only really read the books that I read voluntarily are fiction. So I think I've kind of carried that type of reading with me when I read nonfiction books, right? So your point about that nonfiction books are basically an argument, and that's like the first time I've heard anyone say it like that. To me, that's like kind of like you've lifted a veil, right? And it's like, oh my gosh, like it was just right in front of me. Why didn't I see that? Right. So, yeah, like that's, I feel like that's a really important point, to kind of look at a nonfiction book is to find out what the main argument is. So then I have a question then.
Sure.
So how do you then like look at the table of contents? 'Cause that's like really, really structured. And sometimes you might be even get a hint as to what the point might be.
Definitely. I mean, that's key too. Some table of contents they use these like two words, one word, and you can't really tell what they're talking about. Some table of contents they'll actually tell the meaning of the chapter, right? And th that's
Right.
fantastic because they're like, okay, here's all of the sub points, all of the big branches they're talking about, and oftentimes like a good book will, on the cover they will tell you the main argument.
Right.
And so you can go, oh, main argument, and then you look at the table contents, sub all the big branches, right? That doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes the title is elusive, and the chapter titles are elusive, and you have to dig a little bit deeper. But yeah, that could work often.
Okay. So, I guess I have another question then. So sometimes like I kind of get this actually this is something that I fought a lot with in university as well. When I'm reading a textbook or a nonfiction book, there's this like I fight this strong desire to understand something that I don't understand, right? And in the past, after maybe I would spend maybe like half a day trying to figure something out, like every little detail of that particular sentence, I finally move forward, and literally the next page it explains everything that I spent the last 6 hours in. So like what do you like do you get that when you read books? Like how do you fight that? Because sometimes like I feel like I have to, I don't know, it's just this feeling where I'm fighting that I must know this,
Got it.
right? Otherwise it'd be a waste.
Got it. So let me explain this another concept. Hopefully it'll help. If not, let me know. So this other concept is it's another very important high level concept. It's that the most important and truthful things, in my opinion, are simple. Like there's especially in academia and in certain circles, they tend to, value complexity and like just a lot of decor around their words and arguments. But if you look at the people in the world who have like the best grasp at certain things, let's say it could be golf and sports or business or investing or et cetera, they usually have the clearest thoughts on their topic in the simplest ways, simplest manners, you know? In other words, it's like when you hear something that's so complicated, you know, it's so hard to not just understand, like it's even hard to understand what they're saying, right? And another example, let's say you hear someone who's just talking for like an hour, but you're so confused and so boring. All of these, like typically in a college, university, or school setting, the blame is on the student.
Right.
It's like, oh, student needs to learn more. The professor is always right. But if you take a bigger step, in my opinion, the professor doesn't have a grasp on it strong enough, deep enough. If he had a deep enough grasp on it, he could explain it so clearly, so simply, in its essence, that everyone would get it, understand it. And he could expound on it on interesting ways, on fascinating ways, because it's so simple and so profound. It's like this combination, simplicity and profoundness, right? Yeah, I mean, that's like one thing that, let's say, drew me to, let's say, Elon Musk when I was first researching Tesla in 2012. He tries to understand things at its core essence level. And you could tell because he's always like trying to find out what's the essence of business, what's the essence of this, you know, technology or market, et cetera. And it's usually those people, those types of people who bring it down to its core essence and the simplest like expression of that, that they can understand things deepest and most profoundly. And those are the type of people you want to find. Those are the type of books you want to find. And they're the rare thing. 99% of the books out there, they follow this cultural value system of kind of showing off their credentials, PhD, showing off their academia. Oh, I can write complicated sentences, right? It's like, what the heck, you know? And they kind of bypass the essence of what a true argument is, right? And that's where I want to, for you and for anyone else out there, like, I want to pass the blame, the responsibility away from your shoulders of trying to understand, let's say, a book or an argument. It's really on the shoulders of the presenter, of the author. Like, they need to present it simply. They need to present it in a way like a 10-year-old kid, an 8-year-old kid can understand. You know, and if they can't do that, then they need to go deeper in that argument, in that subject, to really get the essence of it, right? And a lot of people, like, because they're trained with education and always trusting the teacher, they have a hard time with this point. You know, they think, oh no, I need to somehow put myself under this person and somehow, you know, subdue myself to the complexity and try to, you know, train my mind to understand, right? You know, it's like, it's like ridiculous. Yeah.
That actually, so like so that really fits in well with your other point earlier. Cause you said like, you said earlier, toward the start of this conversation that like, you know, it's it within, you know, within, you can read like 10 books, right? And get, and get the 90% of the information from each book, but then be able to get that much more information, useful information. So if a book is actually really bad, you can sort of cover yourself by reading a good book that is good, and then it'll actually reinforce the crappy book because you've now learned from 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 books, and then actually really expand your knowledge that way.
Exactly. It's like there's so many advantages. Let's say one person in like 5 hours, they read one book, but in 5 hours, let's say I read 10 or 20 books. There's so many advantages. Like you're saying, it's like if you're reading just one book, you don't even know how good this book is. You know, you're like, oh, okay. And then you don't know how this author's view compares to everyone else's view on this subject because you're just stuck in that one book, right? And you don't even know if like, what if there's an author that's 10 times better that could have a better argument or point of view and has 10 other books that you're not reading because you're stuck on this book. You know, there's a lot of opportunity cost there.
That is so true. Like that's actually an amazing, amazing thought because like you're basically hedging yourself by having that kind of ability because no one, like it's hard to do that normally. Like for me, like, I actually have 2 marketing books, right? And it's like, I haven't even read one of them, right? So, you know, it could be just that this one sucks and that I don't know yet because I'm only reading one, right? So
exactly, yeah.
That is like, So it's not just a time saver. Like it really like, I feel like it's not just reading that's, it's not just speed reading, you're speed learning. Like you're reinforcing. So you transform all the bad books into pretty decent books in a way, because you take the best from each information, right? From each book, you take the best information from each book, and the really really good ones reinforce the smaller ones, and therefore reinforces your the concept that you have in your mind, right? I feel
Yeah,
like
I mean,
that's really good.
well, I don't know if it's completely reinforcing, let's say, the bad books. It's giving me a way to judge and interpret and evaluate all the books so I can understand like why the bad book is bad, you know? But even with a bad book, there's some value sometimes, like because they're making a certain argument, they have their own experiences they're bringing. You know, they might have some good lessons, some ideas that made their business successful or something, right? So I'm not gonna throw it out completely, but there could be a book where they're just not getting, their argument is just not compelling, and they just haven't gone deep in it. And the way they argue it is just very convoluted and just, you know, poorly argued. And I can evaluate that because, A, I've read, you know, say 1,000 other books on a similar topic, and I understand how other people are arguing it, how other people are understanding it, and I can evaluate that book in the bigger picture, right? And it actually helps me, the more you read on a subject, the faster you get on that subject, because you carry all of your knowledge from all of, you know, these sources to understand that person's approach. Like one example is a lot of people, authors will use the same anecdotes and like reasoning and even like stories. Like they'll say this historical example of IBM or something, or this, or, you know, World War II, this event. And it's interesting because like, if you read enough, you go, oh, this guy's, you know, taking this thing from this other author, or, you know, or many authors have argued a similar thing. And like, it's kind of entertaining in a sense. You know, like if you're only reading one book, you're like, everything seems new and fresh, right? So original. But if you read
So
like the.
do you see that as like a knock on the author then, that he's not really rehashing a new idea, but just kind of like almost plagiarizing, not plagiarizing in like complete plagiarizing, but like kind of rehashing someone else's idea to further his own?
I look at it, it's not necessarily like, so here's the thing with ideas, in my opinion. All ideas are like evolved from other ideas. Like you ideas like lead to more ideas, and it's like for a book, you really only have in a book, you really have just like one idea, like one real I new, or it's not even new idea. It's an idea that's kind of like a mashup. Everything's a mashup, you know? You're taking like a couple ideas, sticking it together, and you're presenting in a way where you thought you think you have a new route. New insight on it. Like for example, Seth Godin, he writes a bunch of books, and his books like will have a singular idea, like so say his book The Tipping Point, right? There's a certain point with ideas and movements and stuff that it reaches a momentum where it becomes, you know, its own movement in a sense. That's kind of like the idea of the book. It's a very simple idea. You know, did he borrow it from other places? Sure, he didn't come up with anything original. He's just kind of mashing up a few things, but presenting it. And then the rest of this book is sub-arguments. It's trying to prove his point, right? And so, yeah, his whole book isn't filled with new ideas. His book is one mashup of ideas presented in maybe a novel way, filled with just regular anecdotes and stories that, you know, aren't that novel or, you know, that great on their own, right? They're just in support of that kind of main argument.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense. I can see why, like, Warren Buffett had said the same thing, that knowledge compounds. And especially if you can, if with your kind of ability, I can really see that you're kind of like super speeding that. Like, I can see how powerful that is, right? And why you're able to kind of almost critique in a way once you read enough books.
See, the knowledge compounds, that's a very interesting concept. Yeah, I was like thinking about that for a long time, for a while. And I think one of the ways that it shows up the most is, at least in my own experience, is I'll go through a bunch of books, right? And then I'll find one book that's like, whoa, this guy is like it's different, you know. It's just like it's you'll find like, you know, he's way up there in terms of how he understands something, he or she, or and presents it. And then what I'll do is I'll do a deep, I'll t do another step into his reading. So I read another book, and then what I'll do is if he keeps on regurgitating the same thing, and it gets boring, then forget it, move on. I move on. But if he keeps on saying like interesting things on new topics, and they're really interesting, then I continue. I keep on reading more and more. I'll actually do this real deep dive. So I'll go on YouTube and download every single like talk, interview, lecture he's ever done or she. And I'll go through articles and stuff. I want to test how deep his or her understanding is, not just on one topic, but on whatever. And at the moment where they just keep on saying the same thing over and over, 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 boring, boring, then I move on. See, most people will fit under that. They might have like one good book or two good ideas in them, but after that, they just regurgitate themselves. And that, I'm not really that interested. I'll take what they give, right? But occasionally, in a rare instance, you'll find a person that has kind of an unlimited amount of really insightful things to say. And it's like, wow, you're like, how did you think of that? Like, you know? And what they're doing is they're doing something where this is where their knowledge, or I call it also wisdom, is compounding, where they get insight on a truth and then they go deeper and then they find that this truth applies to a different area. And like, oh my gosh, it like unlocks this area, like agriculture. Oh my God, unlocks this psychology, unlocks this area, business. It keeps on going, and then they start learning, and then they get wisdom in all these different areas. So now they have like this whole host of interesting insights across these areas. You can listen to a person like that for days and days and days, weeks on end, right? And that's what I do. I go deep on that person. I go book, 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 YouTube, 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 whatever, you know? I just go crazy on that person until like they stop. You know, either two things. Either they start just like saying the same thing and become boring, or I run out of stuff where, you know, there's not enough information on them
You're
or
caught
resources
up.
out. Yeah, exactly, right? But to me, that's like yeah, that like compounding knowledge, compounding wisdom, it's like that's the dynamics of it. You catch kind of like the essence of certain things, you know, and you unlock the essence of more and more things, and that's like a key that just you it starts to snowball, and you can unlock understanding to almost any topic that you choose to. Yeah, it's amazing.
That is wow. Yeah, I feel like it'd be really hard to really have that kind of content generation though for like an author, right? You know what I mean? Like to be able to, but then it also shows like the, I guess like the mental age of that author that he's seen so many or she's seen so much, and to be able to kind of see how it might be adapted to a different way, to a different sort of lifestyle, right? That sounds really, really exciting. Like that sounds amazing. I'm happy you found one.
Well, yeah, I mean, no one's perfect, and there isn't this unlimited, but and I find different people in different like levels of that type of, understanding. But I mean, that's ultimately it comes down to people. It's not really about the books. The books are just an expression of the ideas of a person, right? So, yeah, you really in my kind of journey, I've always found myself going back to the person. You know, and I've always had this thing where, yeah, if I find a great author, some authors, you know, I found in the past that I pick up, I go, whoa, I just get all their books, if they, whatever, you know, and just as long as they have interesting things to say, you know, about different topics.
So I have another question then. So it sounds like do you feel that, so for me, like one big thing for me is that like motivation is unfortunately for me like a really big factor in completing a book, right? So for example, university, there's a lot of books. I would say almost all the books where I had like almost zero interest in it, right? So like do you does that affect your reading when you get to your level of reading? Are you able to surpass that? Or do you still find that personal motivation is still a factor in and I guess and how you read?
What do you mean, like personal motivation?
Like just like so for example, like my background is, so although I graduated in sciences, right? Weirdly enough, I started a career in IT, right? So I'm very good with computers and administrating and all that stuff. So I decided to pursue a networking certificate, right? It's called CCNA. And it's like two big thick textbooks, right? And I had to read both of them basically within 3 months to qualify to get tested, right? Now I actually liked it, so I did it, right? Had it been any other textbook, I think like I might have taken me like a year or two, right? So for me, like my interest in the subject sort of adds some motivation to either read faster or read better or whatever. It just affects my reading ability, right?
Sure.
Do you find that interest can help you with reading a particular book in terms of going through it faster?
Yeah, like I mean, at this point, it's like reading is more like I just read what I want to read, right? And I read what I'm interested in learning about. So if I have some questions or some areas I'm like fascinated about or I need to have some answers, I'll find the best books and order them and read through them, right? I don't know though if like for me when my personal journey was in college, I was forced to read, where I was reading these academic stuff like in college. I majored in political economy at UC Berkeley, and it was a lot of history, political science, economics, all this stuff, and I set a goal that I could read 60 pages in an hour, like 1 page per minute of these academic kind of stuff, which is like really dense. And like it was just like some of this stuff is just really dense and just like a pain to go through. But after forcing myself, because I felt like, I wanted to set up some good habits, I forced myself to read everything that they assigned in all my classes. But I would only spend 1 minute per page reading it max. So I set a timer and I actually, timed myself, and if I had to finish it within that 60 minutes, like 60 pages or something, whatever, it was 100 pages, I had to finish it within 100 minutes. And what ended up happening after a couple of years is I got the skill to be able to find that main argument, to find that main trunk pretty fast. And then I started to see the benefit of it. I'm like, oh, that's what's going on. Because in my papers and then in my in essays and tests, I could quickly refer to these different articles I've read, but summarize the main argument they're making and piece all these things together. And so on my papers and essays, I got practically like straight A's, like my junior senior year, because like I was incorporating all of the readings into like, my essays and papers. And if I didn't understand a reading, if I didn't understand the trunk, I would go to the professor's office hours and I would say, what is this saying? What's the main argument? Right? And the professor would talk and we'd discuss about it. And so for every article they assigned, I only spent like, a short, relatively short amount of time on it, but I came out of it understanding the main trunk. And I started to see, wow, that's the benefit of it. It's not the details. The details of 1949, 1982, this name, who cares? It's like understanding the core essence of the argument. That's like eye-opening. And when I caught that, then I'm like, oh, that's the value of reading these papers or whatever. And that's when I started to apply it to books, and other subjects. And I remember like, later on in grad school, I had a lot of time to sit in the library and to read just anything I wanted to read. It was kind of this interesting experience, but I remember I would just take stacks of books of just different subjects, and I would just like go, huh, I kind of feel like after like really understanding like a few subjects, like economics or political science or sociology or even anthropology or whatever, I started to move on and go, huh, let's see what psychology is about. Get a bunch of books, read through them super fast, get the trunk of all these books and ideas, and I go, oh, I'm getting it. This is fascinating. And go deeper, then move over to art, read a bunch of books, music, move over to this. And I found myself like going through all of the different shelves, the main subjects, doing that. And then after like a few years, and this is kind of crazy, when I look back, it's kind of crazy, but after a few years, I looked into my life, into the library. I'm like, wow, like I understand all these subjects. Like, it's kind of
You
great.
basically
Like,
read the library.
yeah, I mean, it sounds kind of like crazy, and I'm not saying it in this like hubris way per se. I'm just saying, like, I was just like, and I didn't read obviously all of the books in that section, in those sections, and there's no way I could fathom to like understand everything. Obviously, these subjects are unending, unlimited, like subjects, and that's like obviously naive for me to say, I understand, but that's the feeling I had.
Me a second here.
No
Just give me a
worries.
second here.
Sure.
Okay, sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, so the feeling I had, because I had a deep appreciation of each subject, because I had read a lot of books on each subject where I pulled out the core trunks, which had like were so fascinating, I just had this deep appreciation where I could just stop at any shelf and like be interested in that topic because I had some type of foundation of understanding and appreciation for that topic. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is mind blowing. And I had this thing like, this is like the education that I've missed out on. Like we're so like taught specialized subjects. We're so taught just like one track things. Like you learn this. We don't get this like broad like education anymore where we're really understanding, lots of these subjects in a deep manner, And I think the value of that is tremendously like underappreciated. And to me, I attribute a lot of just whatever I've done in business or investing. Like all my mistakes is my foolishness, but the successes is connected in a lot of ways to kind of like this broad type of appreciation of learning and curiosity and interest in the world and many different subjects and combining those interests into whatever I'm learning at that moment. Right. Yeah, fascinating stuff. I mean, for me personally.
So I think I have a greater appreciation for what you meant at your very first point. You said that there's lots of fluff and that it's basically game over if I were to kind of get bogged down by that. I think, yeah, I think when I hear your experiences in the library, I think the only way you could have read that much books is if you didn't let the fluff, I guess, trap you, right? Trap you in
Exactly.
that one book.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. If I let the fluff trap me, I would read one book and it'd be game over. I'd be like sleeping in the book and I'd be like, this is boring, It's like, yeah, it's just like, and the different paths that you're able to take, depending on your ability to read and parse through that fluff is tremendous. What if I didn't know how to read and I just read one book and I stopped? I would be blocked off from all of that, knowledge and insight and from different subjects. But by having those skills of redefining what a book is, redefining what I want out of the book, looking at the trunk and the branches, saying I want that quick, it allowed me, it opened the door to knowledge, opened the door to just, so many subjects and things.
So just one other question. Just wanted to make it clear. I did ask this before, but if you encountered a fluff that was supporting, but you didn't quite understand, do you just continue reading until and hopefully that you'll get it later on, or?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not interested in dwelling on fluff. Yeah, it kills my time, kills experience. I'm just focused on really getting the main trunk and the branches. The fluff I'm interested in because it shows me how they're arguing, kind of what type of anecdotes and stories and details and clarification they're using. But I'm not really interested in understanding all of that fluff.
Right, okay. No, I think identifying the fluff is like, I feel like that's really important for me then, because if I identify a section as fluff and I don't understand it, I should know that to not get trapped by it and just continue reading
Exactly.
instead of just being stuck. Because I actually, in the book that I was reading, I actually had to reread whole sections of the book because I didn't understand the beginning, right? So I had to kind of
Exactly.
reprocess it.
Yep.
But I think if I were to adopt your style, and as long as it's fluff, just kind of read past it, right?
Exactly.
And
Yeah.
okay.
I mean, this is another crazy thought, but a lot of times, we're brought up in authoritarian, school systems or family systems and government, etc., where we're taught obey, follow the rules. That's the best thing to do. And that's the worst, absolute worst thing to do in trying to read fast. Like the obedient thing to do is read every sentence, understand everything. And that's the cultural education and norm that we've received typically as, people growing up in a society like this. But there needs to be, I think, a kind of an out of the box, it's a kind of a rebellious way to read in a way. You're saying, I'm not gonna follow like this path that the book tells me or the culture tells me to do. Like, this book is for me. Is it really for the author you're reading it? Are you really trying to please the author by following their rules on how to read their book? No, the author doesn't care. It's like you're reading it because you're trying to get something out of it for yourself, right? And because of that, you need to set the rules. You need to set, again, your pace, what you're looking for, etc. And yeah, definitely fluff. If it's a leaf that you don't get, forget it. Like, there's no point to it, and move on. Yeah.
I feel like I don't know why, but like listening your perspective, it reminds me of Einstein's quote where he and I'm paraphrasing it, but he basically said something about how the school kind of kills creativity. Like I don't know the exact quote, but I remember him basically against the traditions of schooling. And I just feel like you're absolutely right. Like ever since from I was a kid in like elementary school till like now, like we're always taught to learn the way the teacher expects, right? Or the way the teacher presents it, or the way that the textbook presents it. But never really encouraging us to learn in our own way. And yeah, it makes a lot more sense, right? I feel like your way is more natural in that you kind of use your natural interest in a particular topic for you, whereas the book kind of sort of unintentionally traps you.
Definitely. All right, so we've gone through kind of like this first high level of kind of like, okay, what is a book? What is an argument? How to spot the or what you're looking for with the trunk and the branches. If we stop here, actually, I think actually you could, it provides enough principles to have some ideas of what direction to take, right? What I want to do is I want to help you a bit more and go down to a second level, a little bit more practical level. And what this is so how do we implement some of these ideas in practice? Like, how do we take a book and actually find its trunk, find its branches, and what you're talking about, hey, if I go into fluff, I don't understand, what do I do? Like, different things like this. On a practical level, if I share some ideas, some tips, some approaches, some angles, it could perhaps speed up your process, in how you handle these books. The principles, I think, are the most important because this is what guides you, right? Yeah, actually, all my notes here, I talk a lot about what you just brought up, actually, is a lot of the stories and anecdotes and details and clarifications that an author brings up, you've got to filter it where you got to say, is this main argument or is this a leaf? Right? Is it a detail or is this the core? And one of the things is, right when you pick up a book, when I pick up a book, my first question and my constant question, like, this is what's going through my head. I pick up a book. I go, what's the main argument? What's the main argument? What's this guy saying? What's the core thing? What's his like unique thesis? I'm just repeating that kind of in my head, like constantly until I find it. So what I'll do is this is how I'll read us to pick up a book. I'll say, okay, here's this book. And I go, Extreme Ownership, How US Navy SEALs Lead and Win. Right? I go, okay, what's this guy's main point? So he's saying something about leadership, how they win in the military. He's talking about extreme ownership, something about owning something, responsibility. So I go, okay, huh, main point is he talking about responsibility as kind of this key thing that gives you benefit in winning, executing. I have a hunch, but I don't know yet, right? So I go to the table of contents. I'm still saying, what is this main thing? What is his angle? What is his angle? What is his thesis? I go to his table of contents, and I go, it goes, winning the war within, extreme ownership, no bad teams, check the ego, laws of combat, prioritize, execute. He goes on, and with the table of contents, I'm not clear yet exactly what his exact angle is, right? So I go, okay, I still don't really grasp his core trunk. So I'm just, this is, so I go, okay, I got to find it. So I go to the preface. Sometimes the intro is good too, because they share like why they're writing it. So I go, okay, why is he writing this? Like, what is his point? And I try to find it. And then maybe I find like some really interesting sentences. He says, right when I decided to take full responsibility and not blame anybody, like that's when like I started to rise in the ranks. That's when my team started to respect me. And that's when we started to become so much more efficient or something. I go, ah, so he's connecting the dots of accepting full responsibility over something with how he's able to lead people and be more effective. So I go, huh, maybe he's talking about that, the power of responsibility, right? But I'm not sure yet because I just read the preface, but I'm doing it really fast because I'm only asking that one question, what's the trunk? So I go to chapter one. All this has happened in like just a few minutes. I go to chapter one. I'm like, okay, what is he talking about? What is he talking about? What's the core argument, main argument, right? What's his angle on responsibility? Right, that's right. All that's going in my head right now. Like I'm dictating what I'm reading. I'm not following his pace, his whatever. I'm trying to find out on my terms what he's saying. So I go to chapter one and I'm like, okay, if there's anecdotes, leaf, 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 I'm just like going through it just very, very fast. Practically skimming in a sense, right? Just very, very fast because I'm trying to find something. You know, this is an obstacle. If he's telling this long story of like World War II and this happened, this happened, this happened, this is defeating this is roadblock, you know, it's taking too long. It's like I'm skimming, I'm glazing, reading super fast, trying to find what he's saying. What about responsibility is he saying? What's the point? And then maybe in chapter one or two, I find it. And he's saying, oh, the blaming mentality, that's the ruin of all teams, the ruin of all companies, like whatever. When you take responsibility, you actually get things done, whatever, whatever. And so I get this, his argument, and I go, oh, that's what he's saying now. Okay. He's saying that the power of responsibility is underappreciated in organizations and everywhere, but he caught it. And then I start to read more and go, okay, what are his subpoints? What are the main branches? And I read all these stories of, you know, him and his team and going to Afghanistan, going to Iraq and all this stuff. And all these are fine and dandy, but they're still leaves, right? They don't really, like, the main branch is not a story. The main branch is a core argument. It's a truth. It's not a story, actually. So I'm trying to find out what's that truth, what's that argument. And then he goes, something about how people will respect you more when you don't blame them or blame others and have excuses, but you just take full responsibility. They trust you more. He's caught on. That's one of the sub arguments. Okay. Another sub argument is you think that, for example, when you fail and you take responsibility, your superiors will look down on you and you're scared of getting fired, but they actually appreciate it because they know you'll correct it. Thus it's going to be better for your career. Another sub argument. So I'm picking up all these sub arguments, right? I'm going through the book. I'm like, oh, here's this main argument. Here's a sub argument, sub argument, sub argument. I'm going through it. A lot of the stories, some anecdotes, I'm not really, you know, looking at very detailed. I'm just saying, oh, he's using this story to illustrate a point, blah, 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 blah. I go through this book in maybe 30 minutes or so, and I'm like, wow, I get it. I know what he's saying. Do I know all of his anecdotes? No, I don't need to know all of his anecdotes. If I want to read it again, sure, I could read it again. But like in 30 minutes, like, you know, I get the essence of this book, and I can, because I've read so many books on leadership, I can understand this in the bigger picture too. I can say, oh, this guy adds this like kind of this hardcore militaristic kind of like, I'm a man, gonna own up to my responsibility and the power of responsibility, right? That's kind of like how I read, you know? And it's one of the ways I read. There might be a time where, like, for example, if I have a really cool author that, you know, that I trust already, that I'm like done a deep dive and they have a new book, maybe I'll read slower. Maybe I'll just like kind of take my time, actually read the anecdotes more slowly, just have a good time. But that's actually for me a rare case. The majority of my reading, it's like, boom, I'm asking, where's the trunk? Where's the trunk? What's the main argument? What's the main sub-arguments, you know? And everything else fits into that piece. It's kind of like putting together a puzzle. And you're like, trunk, 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 okay, branches. And then you're putting all these anecdotes as leaves, putting it all together, and you get the whole picture of the book. Right? I wish authors could present it like that. Like, here's the trunk, here's the branches, here's the leaves, right?
Just read the table of contents.
Yeah, I mean they had like, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's too bad that authors usually don't do it like that. It makes us do the work, but it makes it
I
also
wish.
where if you can understand how to do it, you're at an extreme advantage. Because very and this is in my experience, very few people have learned this skill of quickly dissecting a book for its main value, right? It's just not taught. Like, it's not taught in school, it's not taught in college. I've never gone through a course like this. I've never even like heard a talk about this per se. Like, it's just something that I was forced upon. I, you know, dived into myself and I've carried it on for probably like, you know, almost 2 decades now and seen the benefit. But yeah, if you can have the skill quickly getting the main point, the sub-arguments, everything else, you know, fits in as leaves, and you grasp it in 20, 30 minutes, and then you're going on to the next book. See, for me, one of the big differences is, or changes, it makes reading fun. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, that's fantastic. You know, like I got some cool insights. I read a bunch of stuff, you know, 30 minutes well spent in this book. You know, I thought it was actually a pretty interesting book. So I said, okay, he doesn't have any other, or he might have another book, but I'm like, okay, I want to go to YouTube. I thought he made some interesting ideas. So I'm going to download a few of his talks and see what he's saying. So I went to YouTube, downloaded a few of his talks and a few of his interviews. And yeah, it was exactly what I figured out. It was the exact trunk and sub-arguments that I had figured out. I was like, yeah, that's what he's saying. I knew it. And I'm like, okay. So I listened to him more and more and more. And at a certain point, he got repetitive and re was regurgitating the same thing. And I couldn't see the insight and depth in other topics or unrelated topics. So I'm like, okay, I'm moving on. Right. And so that's, yeah.
So I guess that really helps with retaining information as well, which was actually my next question. So earlier, like, I didn't even, I totally forgot what USB stood for in my book, right? And I had to search for it again. But because you're able to, I guess, distill in a way, distill the contents of a book, but that simultaneously probably makes it easier for you to retain information as well, right?
Oh,
Because
definitely. Yeah,
you're kind
because
of doing it at the same time.
yeah, you can't remember a million things. Like, your brain isn't set up for that. Your brain is set up for, you look at a book, you can remember one thing, you know, like the main trunk, you know. But usually, when you give a book to a person, you show them that they read it, you go, what is this book about? They'll tell you some like anecdote of the book, but are they really going to tell you the essence of the book? Most people can't even do that. And they spent like 20 hours reading the book, you know. Like,
Yeah, I'm that
I could pick up the book in 30 minutes and tell you the essence, you know? And it's like, who's going to retain more? I personally, I think I retain more because I, you know, like I'm taking what the author really values, you know, as the key. Yeah.
that is you present the information that you presented is, I feel like it's novel in a way. Like I never really heard anyone say that, and it makes a lot of sense. Because like the biggest problem I have is, forget reading now. So the reading I can, if I had the habit to do it, if I force myself to do it, I can do it. But then retaining the information, or I guess extracting information and retaining the useful parts, that's the part I have problems with. But that's because of the fluff. So
Exactly. Yeah.
I totally get it, because the fluff is like, it hurts you in two ways. It hurts you from finishing to read the book. And then it hurts you from remembering which parts are the important parts of the book.
Exactly,
So
yeah.
the fluff is like really, really dangerous. So I understand that now.
Yeah.
That is.
And here's another point that's kind of interesting is, for example, you have a marketing book in front of you, and when you enter a subject, initially you might think that it's like, well, what do I need to do to market my business better, right? It's like a task, kind of specific oriented thing. But when you get into these subjects more, you realize a lot of these subjects are very deep and almost philosophical in some senses. Like marketing is a very deep and philosophical topic that you can approach it at a more superficial level, but your marketing is superficial in some ways. When you can approach marketing on a more profound level, that's when your marketing gets profound and it gets like next level. And that's where, when you go through marketing books, you go through a lot of marketing books, you get the techniques you need to get, but you also run across certain people who have the technique, plus they have the profound philosophy and value system, and you start to pick up on that, and then you're like, oh, this is a different level. And your marketing goes to a completely different level, you know? I mean, there are different people like Gary Vaynerchuk. He's, pretty popular. A lot of people, like, when you look at him, they don't completely get him, but he's very, in some senses, if you look at his main message, it's very philosophical in some senses. Like, he doesn't look at marketing as just technique, but he looks at it as like, huh, it's like relationship and trust and going slow, step by step, and leading them to help them with a certain problem, and how can my business help them, and et cetera. Very like, and then, yes, it's a different approach completely. Out of that philosophical base, there comes certain techniques out of that, like how to engage on social media, et cetera. But it's driven by something deeper. And so when you read like 100 marketing books and you're taking the branches, you're like, oh yeah, this technique's interesting, this technique's interesting. Then you catch a few, you're like, whoa, that guy, or that author is just like, it's got something next level, you know? Like they're just like on a different league. And then you're able to catch why they're on the different league, because you catch their trunk. They're like playing a different game. And then you read more about that and you're like, whoa, that's a different way to look at marketing. And you're gonna retain this stuff because it's not, oh, I need to remember how to do X, Y, and Z. It's not that. It's more, once you understand it, you get it.
Memorable.
Exactly. It's just, to understand it, it's retained because you understand that. It's realizing something, you know? But yeah, some interesting stuff.
I feel like that's the mark of a true specialist. I see that a lot with like kind of in certain areas of Japanese culture, like for example, carpentry. They often talk about like the tree itself and how important the tree is, and they kind of like mold their techniques around the tree in a way. And I've seen hints of that in other areas, and I feel like that to me like confirms like their, I guess, their mastery of a certain topic.
Yep, definitely. One last technique I'll kind of share with you is, for me personally, and you can read, I like to present kind of like, or share reading in kind of this more free style, meaning like your reading is going to be your reading. And I don't want you to, or anybody, to say, oh, I have to read like Dave, in the sense of like, the time limit is up to you too. You know, you might spend an hour or 2 hours per book, or it might be 30 minutes per book. I don't know. Also, with each book, it could be a little bit different. There are some books maybe you do need to spend more, some books maybe you spend less. And so it's not necessarily like a rigid system per se. You know, I have to read, certain book amount of books in a certain amount of time. In the beginning, you might need something like that to get started and just to get the skills up. But the goal is not to like beat yourself into it, but the goal is to quickly as possible learn the joy of picking out the trunk and finding the value of doing so. Once you get that, then it becomes kind of addictive, at least in my experience, where you start to see, oh my gosh, in 20, 30 minutes, I could like get the essence of this like marketing classic. You know, or this business or investing classic. It's like amazing, you know? It's like so worth my time. Another kind of a thing I do personally is like there are different techniques that, so-called speed readers have, or, it's like, what do you do? Like, how do you like, go from line to line, or left to right, or up and down, and all sorts of stuff. Like, what do you do with your eyes? Personally, I don't get bogged down in much of that because it's like whatever I could do to find that trunk, right? For me, what's worked the best typically, and it depends on the book, but I'll just kind of go with my finger, and I'll just like go down, up and down on in the middle of the book. I won't go usually side to side. I'll just go up and down the book. And what I'll do is I'll tr and this is kind of out there in a sense, but I will trust that my brain is able to process far more than I think it can process. Okay, so this is key. This is kind of a step of faith in a sense, where just because my mind is not vocalizing right the words, and just because my mind right now, I don't feel it thinking the thoughts, in my head, like typically you would equate that with my brain isn't getting anything. There's no input. Okay. But this is something that what I do is I change the equation where I say my brain can input, the input into my brain is, and my brain can process things far greater than what I'm conscious of or aware of at that moment. Meaning, I'm going through this page, like this, let's say, like this. And then I'm going to the next page, all this stuff. And for an outsider, or for an observer, they're like, how are you understanding anything? Right? They're like, it looks ridiculous. But for me, I'm like, I'm inputting into my brain. I'm letting my brain actually process this stuff. At that moment, do I understand that leaf, that anecdote, that story right there, or illustration? No, I don't understand it completely because I'm going really fast, right? Does it mean my brain hasn't inputted it, hasn't took notice of it? No, it doesn't mean that, right? Just because I'm not conscious of, and not my mind at that moment isn't understanding it or following it at the speed that I'm reading, it doesn't mean that it's I'm not inputting it. Right.
Right.
So what I'm doing is as I'm looking for the sub the trunk and the sub points, the main branches, I'm letting my brain just absorb the leaves. I'm not ignoring the leaves because I mean some people will say, oh, just skim the book and look for your thing, right? Like for me, the leaves are actually somewhat important because they kind of illustrate and tell how the argument is being formed. Like imagine a tree without any leaves, right? It's just a trunk and branches. It doesn't look that great, right? That's what kind of a pure skimming approach is. And I don't consider my approach a pure skimming approach. Like I want to see the tree. I want to see that what it looks like in its magnet in its glory, So I'm looking for the trunk and the branches, but I'm trusting my brain to process the leaves. Even though I can't process it at the moment because I'm reading too fast. And at the end of the book, my brain, on a conscious level, I'm able to grasp the trunk and the branches. But my brain somehow gets the leaves on a different level. Yeah, it's kind of strange. And I could say at the end of the book, I get the tree. It's not just the trunk and the branches. Right? And it's a little bit of a weird experience, but I mean that's how I'm able to kind of, go through these books fast and feel like I'm actually reading them. Like for some people it seems like I'm just skimming the book, right? Not really reading it. But in my view, and that's where like, for example, like how can I read five books, let's say in like 2 hours or something? That's impossible. Like some people can say that. And I agree in a certain sense, because if they were to look at me read the book, they would be, you're not reading it. How can you be reading? Because you're just like, looks like you're just skimming the book. It's like, it's just too fast. And so, on some level, yeah, on a conscious level, maybe like in my brain, I'm not like, completely processing it all consciously. But I'm intentionally going through each word or each line and letting my brain absorb all the words. And being exposed to the illustrations because I value that, and I don't think I'm skimming. I don't value skimming. I value the actual reading, like the input. But it's just such a lower level value and of importance. It's just if the trunk is one out of 10 priority, and the sub branches are like 2 and 3 out of priority. The leads are all 9 or 10, you know, bottom level priority. And that's how I intake it. Therefore, shouldn't I like spend more time looking at the trunk and the branches, right? The leaves, I don't need to spend that much time. I can let, you know, my brain be exposed to all of it without fully completely comprehending it. Now, if there is an anecdote or a story that's like seems super important, yeah, I'll stop and, you know, read it more slowly, et cetera. It's not like a fine, like rigid system, but yeah, that's kind of my process. And that's why I say, like, hey, in my view, it feels like I'm reading super fast, because, you know, yeah, I'm actually taking in the whole book, it feels like, in that sense.
So when you're I guess kind of going through it, like I noticed like myself, when I was reading it yesterday, I can I'm basically hearing, like not hearing a voice, but there's a voice in my head that basically follows the my eyes, right?
Yep.
And I decided to watch like a couple videos on YouTube to see what I could do, like practical things I could do to make it faster.
Sure.
And they said that I have to learn to adopt, I guess, sight reading, which is like what you're describing.
Yeah.
So like how did you go through I guess transitioning from, you know, traditional, I guess, vocal reading, I guess,
Yeah.
to the way that you read? Because I
Yeah.
feel like it's hard for me to like ignore that or to
Exactly.
stop it.
I say personally, I think, I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, different views on it. I actually say keep it.
Okay.
Keep your, I mean, this is going to be controversial. Like, probably most speed readers will be like, oh, blasphemy or whatever. But I mean, I don't care. The way I do it is I actually vocalize in my
Oh.
head the reading and the parts that are related to the trunk and the branches.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Everything else, I'm not trying to vocalize or read slow enough for my brain to actually, like, you know, sound it out. It's
Right.
only for the trunk and the branches that I'm vocalizing, and that's, and everything else, I'm just letting input read, just let my brain, you know, go through it, and I'll pick out the vocalizations of the one of the key things, sentences and words and stuff that are related to the trunk and the sub arguments. The branches, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then do you recommend, I guess, practically for me then, do you just rec it seems like we should all just read, right? Basically, like the more we read, but kind of, I guess, mindful reading of. So going back to your high level principles here, where you know, we have a goal. So one of the things I noticed, you said that like you look at the title. You look at the intro. You're basically trying to extract information without even opening the book yet, right? So that's kind of like a new thing for me. Are you like obviously no one can go from, you know, 36 pages to a book within an hour, right? But do you, I guess, do you find that if do you think that if I were to just keep reading, that I would naturally find my own way of adopting kind of like your style of reading, or like what would you recommend that I do on a habitual, on a maybe like a daily or a weekly basis to further my to increase my goal?
So, you know, I think a few things. One is obviously the pace of your how of your reading and how much you improve your reading speed will depend on many different things, you know, and I don't know your full situation. And so but in my opinion, I think for most people, like, I think they'll be very surprised on how much they can improve their reading speed if they just took like these principles and these simple techniques to heart and started to implement them. What my suggestion would be, like, to you or to anyone else is, you know, after this video, like, take a book and just spend an hour saying, like, maybe start with a book that isn't so consequential, meaning like you could read it or you don't have to read it. Maybe it's not too high pressure. Take a book, and say, hey, I'm gonna spend an hour. I'm gonna do, say, I say this, I'm gonna do the Dave technique, you know, in this book. Find the tree, you know, the trunk and the main branches. and just go for it, you know, say, where is the trunk? Where are the branches, you know, and try to find it and spend an hour and toss the book after, you know, and do that several times. And then, you know, come back to this video and watch the video again. You know, watch my other video, How to Read Super Fast. That gives kind of some motivation too. So this and this video, these two videos, watch this video like once a week, and then go and practice with a few books, several books, you know, give an hour. And then if you think after, my hunch is this, after about 10 books, you do an hour, you're like, oh, you know, I could probably do it a little faster even. You know, you might be surprised. In a month or two of doing this, you might be surprised. You're like, Dave, wow, man, like my reading has completely changed, you
I'm gonna do it. I'm doing
know?
it, man. I'm doing it tonight. I'm gonna dedicate an hour of reading a day. Except there's an emergency, obviously, but like I'm
Sure.
at roughly around an hour a day.
Sure.
Because I everything that you said today and everything in the video that I watched, it is like it is in my personal opinion probably the most important thing, and I'm really encouraged right now. I'm really inspired right now to keep to keep going. So I will, but I'm gonna be more mindful of how I'm gonna read. So I'm gonna adopt your approach and look for the main trunk, identify the fluff, just kind of push myself past the fluff and don't get trapped.
Like
And
one more word of encouragement is like, I grew up hating reading, hating to read. I barely read anything as like a child, teenager. Just like hated it. I don't know why. I guess, you know, I was more into just being outdoor, sports, whatever. And yeah, I hated reading all the way up until like, you know, mid college, where I had that kind of realization in one of my classes. That professor said, "Yeah, you've got to learn how to read fast." But yeah, for a person who kind of skipped reading for 20 years, like I have an older brother and younger brother. They love to read. Like they go to the library when I was like a kid, and they bring 5 to 10 books, like 20, 200 pages each, and read them, you know, ever since they're like 7 or 8 years old, just like crazy, right? And for me, it's like I just never did that. Didn't want to touch the library, didn't want to touch books. You know, my vocabulary at, you know, in high school, or my SAT English was like a pain because I was like, I never read books much. And for a person who like just skipped out on reading for 20 years, basically, it's like there's hope
Well, you
because
definitely caught up to them, so.
oh yeah. I mean, just like, I mean, to tell you the truth, like just in 1 year of like reading, like real reading, like what I'm talking about, it's like you f far surpass the reading of most people in like just, I don't know, many years, you know. But yeah, it's like it doesn't matter where you've been or what your past has been, etc. It's more like right now, what are the habits and, you know, decisions do you choose to, you know, implement from here going forward that makes the difference.
Okay. Yeah, like so okay, can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
There was I installed a couple of apps on my phone, and they look like they're just games. But they sort of they're justifying the game. An example of one game might be there's gonna be like words, so there might be like nine spots on the screen, and then there is the main word at the top. And so basically what happens is it'll flash a word, right? And it'll stop at a random area. And you have to basically you get six choices and you have to pick which one is like whatever, right? Which is the last word, and it goes faster as you get it right. That sounds like fluff, right? But what do you think about that? 'Cause like
Is this supposed to help you
They're
read
not the
faster?
only app. There's like multiple apps that have very similar games and different styles and different activities and stuff like that.
Is this supposed to help you read faster, or what's the point? Or
That's
is
what they
this a
said.
game? Oh, really?
Yeah,
Yeah.
they said that specifically this helps you train your mind to
Got it.
look at patterns. So for example, another game might be you have an array of letters and numbers, and they'll pick four random spots, and you basically have to determine which one they're all the same, which one's different. That's like another version of a game. And there this the if you read the description, it says that this game teaches you to look for patterns.
Got it.
and that to encourage you to sight read and stuff like that. So I
Yeah.
don't know, like, just want to get your thoughts on stuff like that.
I don't know the details. It's hard for me to completely, respond. But typically, like with the general like speed reading approach that most people have, I don't personally like it or approve of it or recommend it per se, because in my opinion, it focuses so much on, like on technique, but yet operating within the construct of the author's like rules. Basically read
I
every
see.
word, every page, everything, do this is the way he wants it. Like it's kind of it's not out of the box enough for me where
That
you're
makes
like,
sense.
hey, I'm gonna read it on my terms. It's still it's like saying learn techniques to try to read it on their terms the fastest you can. And a lot of the speed reading techniques, like I just don't find them very enjoyable.
Yeah,
It
it
just
was boring.
because,
I installed it.
yeah, it's just like, like it just makes reading kind of a bore, a chore, like a work to do. But if, like, in my experience, the way I read, it's actually like, it's decently fun, like in the sense of I don't dread it, and I am confident in 30 minutes or so, I can take the main point, and it's just like a superpower in a sense that's not like a dreaded, oh my gosh, I have to read this thing again, and go through all these techniques, It's more like I like it because I feel like you gotta, for any skill, you get to the essence of it. What is reading? And it's reading a book. To me, a society teaches it's reading every page, every word, the way author wants you to read it, right? Obey the author. But I think the essence of it is the author, you're trying to absorb some truth of, or understanding, right, of some view as quick as possible and in the most effective way as possible. It's a person-to-person transfer, right, of kind of like an idea or wisdom or truth. And you want to focus on that as the main transaction when you're reading the book, right? And that's where, like, if someone can come up with a better system or technique, that's great. I would love to learn from others too, because I'd love to, improve my reading. It's just that I think, I think the focus needs to be I'm trying to absorb, something from the author in the quickest way possible on my terms.
That's the point of the book, is the information
Exactly.
in the book, not the fluff, and not
Yeah.
reading all the fluff and understanding all the fluff. Makes
Yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I feel like there's a I feel like I'd be more purposeful in my reading now after this, I think if I were to kind of like, so there's one point that I start on my notes here, is that you said earlier, find the joy of reading. I think that's like the more spiritual aspect of that. But like, that would be kind of like the core message, right? And then it's kind of like going into, you gave me a lot of like principles and kind of practical tips on how to achieve that. Yeah, I'm very, very encouraged. I want to get started right now.
Yeah, cool, man. Yeah, thanks for reaching out. Thanks for doing this, video and being open to recording it, because I think as much as you've expressed that, desire to be fast, I've received actually dozens and dozens of requests from people saying like, oh, please do another video. Like, I want to learn how you do it more specifically. And I'm like, oh, I'm so busy and I can do something, but sometimes it's difficult to like write out and prepare like an hour or two video. But I think discussing it and you asking questions, but you having the desire to do it and saying, hey, I need to learn this, it helps, bring out the lessons, right, the tips easier. So yeah, thanks a lot. And then yeah, hopefully there'll be other people who watch this and also benefit, from all of this.
No, I think this is great. I think honestly, like I really meant what I said in the Twitter reply. I think that this video, that your reading video, is probably the most important video in your whole set. I know that there was a lot of you have a lot of investment videos, which is one of the reasons why I started watching you. But the reading is more of like, I feel like that's like a foundation, right? Because in your other videos, you always talk about you always go into like the reasons why, is this a 10x company? You kind of go into the reasons why, but that all comes from reading, their financial documents. That comes from the research. And you said that research is like underrated, And it is, right? Because no one does it, you know, like
Exactly.
it's just it's but it's so important. And and the extra information, the extra reading that you do outside of just the financial documents, you know, the marketing books that you read, or like the HR books they might read as part of a business, or even philosophical books, right? That all, like, you know, like you said, and like Warren Buffett said, it
Yeah.
compounds, and that helps you to have a greater understanding of
Yeah.
a particular company. So yeah, no, I'm really, really appreciative of the video. I'm really appreciative of this conversation. And thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, like I agree, I resonate. Like all knowledge is actually related. It's just I that's my belief, and I just don't think we are completely aware of or recognize that. But like and a lot of times our knowledge of things is just so superficial, shallow surface level. We're not really getting to the essence of things. But yeah. Anyways, thanks again, Chris, and hopefully we'll talk soon. We'll talk
Thank
later.
you so much, Dave. You
Okay.
have a good one.
All right, take care.
See you.